Welcome to East Meets West, episode 79. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
Hopefully. And we're back on the crappy equipment again, if you couldn't tell.
Yes, we're actually rolling down 99 in a big rig, and we're sitting here in the sleeper cab as our driver, Otis, makes his way out down to Fresno.
Theater of the mind. Because we're not really in a cab.
Oh.
Actually, something strange has happened to our mixer. Perhaps it was the water we spilled on it 2 weeks ago. The Euroback UB802 just won't put out anything above 0.5. So if we sound a little limited or compressed,
it's because of that.
Would be why.
I guess we'll have to chunk out some change to get an upgraded unit.
Now, when I spilled the water on the laptop, it was the same water, by the way. It just took a week, and then it dried out, and everything was back to normal.
But
we haven't used the mixer since then. Maybe it'll suddenly dry out in the middle of the podcast.
I think what the issue was is the I'm sure the laptop was designed with errant spills in mind,
and the mixer was not quite possible. It is unusual, though. It worked fine after we spilled water in it immediately. It's just having sit for a while.
I think what happened, maybe when it went around, it dissolved some portions inside.
Dissolved something.
And then it took those remnants and then basically made a new circuit out of nothing.
Or it could have, it's not soft water either, so it could have left some mineral deposits and created a circuit that way.
Some minerally deposits, that is true.
Anyway, so we do need that $1,000 pledge per listener
yes.
now.
Yes, please.
Just one listener will get us a new mixing board.
No, totally. You know, these Fisher-Price ones really aren't designed for professional use.
It's not Fisher-Price.
With the big squeaky button in the middle.
That's not like that. This is really meant for running a few mics at a rock show through it. You know, this is not meant for what we're doing, basically. Though it should be able to take spills if it's meant for a rock show.
Yeah, maybe we'll get.
Wouldn't you think?
Maybe we'll get like just an audio interface next time that has XLR inputs.
Yeah,
and that way we can ride the levels inside the application.
No.
I
can't do that. I like to ride the levels outside the application. Ride the levels.
Uh huh.
It gives you more. You should have your application have a single level and then have individual levels on the mics rather than having it in the app. I think.
Uh-huh.
Old fashioned that way, though.
Well, why can't you just get a USB interface with knobs on it?
Okay.
That integrates
that would be
with
fine. As long as it's not in the same app I'm recording.
You know, in other words, you don't want to interface it with a mouse, is what you're telling me.
Right.
That's perfectly legitimate. Say that.
Well, I thought that's what you were suggesting. When you said in the application, that's what I thought you meant. You know, some people hate it when you go like that. We actually got some emails about it on Buzz Out Loud. People are like, I hate it when everybody in the world goes while they're talking. I'm like, man, that guy must really hate it in Africa.
How's that?
I don't know. He might be an East Meets West listener, in which case, I apologize for the...
Or the...
I have not been able to get OS X to boot off my iPod. I've been trying to do that.
Oh, that's quite unfortunate, seeing as... Well, now, why are you trying to do this in the first
Just
place?
Just for the heck of it.
Ah...
I'm not trying to run it on the iPod. I've seen people do that, actually. I'm trying to boot OS X onto a PC using the iPod as an external hard drive, as the bootable drive.
Mm-hmm.
But the iPod gets in the way because it's got this software in the flash memory that you can't overwrite, at least not easily. It's not on the hard drive. So when you overwrite the hard drive, you don't get rid of it. Anyway, halfway through booting, it just shuts itself off and says, you know, safe to remove iPod now. But not safe for the kernel to communicate with the root device.
Don't you have an external drive you could use and try it that way?
Yes, but I want to do it from an iPod just because that's an Apple-labeled device. So it gets me around the EULA.
Oh.
Not really. It doesn't really,
you know
but
what
it's
else
a funny
you could
joke.
Do? You know what else you could do, right?
What?
Boot it off a MacBook.
I could freaking buy a Mac, too. That's not the point.
Well, just take your wife's MacBook and just put it into FireWire mode. And then, like, hold down T, it turns into a
No, fire. But I want to boot a PC. She
uh-huh.
has a she has a PowerPC Mac. I want to take a PC, an Intel-based Windows machine like a ThinkPad, and boot Mac OS X off of the iPod. Just because, just to do it.
Uh-huh.
There's no practical reason for doing this.
Well, I mean, there's lots of practical reasons why you would want to boot OS X off on your PC. I know a few people who've done it, and they just because it's a fat. It's
but
a
there's
fat
no reason you'd want to have to do it off an iPod.
Yeah. You're just purposely making it more difficult for yourself.
I'm just challenging myself, and I think I'm challenged out because I can't figure out how to
overwrite
that flash memory.
It's like trying to drive a car with all the windows and the mirrors all like cardboarded up so you can't see.
No, it's not. It's not anything like that.
Making it more difficult than it needs to be.
In that respect, maybe, but just putting boards over the windows is dangerous. There's nothing dangerous about this.
Until that,
you had me at mirrors. When you covered the windows, though, I lost the analogy.
Oh, whatever. It's dangerous, my friend. You'll see.
I did put the Rockbox software on the iPod, though. That was fun.
Yeah, no, there's actually another couple of... I think Rockbox is the only open source one, but there are a couple of others that people have written to replace. And they were designed specifically so you wouldn't have to use the iTunes software to access.
Mm-hmm.
You could just basically open up in a file manager.
Yeah.
There's also RedShare also makes, what do they call it? This iSomething Explorer?
I don't know.
The iDude or something like that. It's basically,
iDude.
It's like an iTunes replacement, but it literally lets you run the iPod as a... through an Explorer window on a PC, and you can drag and drop files back and forth instead of having to, you know, go through and get the, you know, use iTunes application itself.
RedShare?
Yeah.
Hmm. Are they Russian? Do I have the right place here? RedShare.ru?
No, RedShare.
Like RedShare. Yeah, those guys. I had that for my, I had their software for my Creative Nomad back in the day. I remember those guys.
RedShare.
Anapod Explorer.
That's it. Yeah. But they actually have some pretty cool interfaces, and if you're interested in using something other than iTunes, they do have a free demo that allows you to do one song at a time instead of groups of them, and you can try it out. And if you like it, you can purchase it. And
if anybody wonders why we don't look stuff up on the internet more often while we're doing East Meets West... Well, part of the reason is when we're doing it here is we have to hold the mic with one hand. It makes it harder to type. Plus, we only have one computer.
Then we don't want to crash it mid-recording.
There's that.
Being a Windows machine.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord. Is this a commercial for Princess Diana, how she got it?
Long-time listeners will understand that occasionally the television is on while we record this show, and it can be distracting. And we know it's a bad idea, but there it is. Yeah, it looks like some sort of advertisement for something involving Princess Diana. Is playing on the screen right now.
As they're driving, they're doing a little thing through the tunnel.
TLC.com/Diana. Diana, Last Days of a Princess. Oh, okay.
Oh,
it's a TLC show.
It's just tacky.
So I finished the whole Doctor Who season.
Wow. That's even ahead of me. I actually, you know what? That email you sent to me never got to me.
What? Really?
Yeah. So we'll discuss the email address later.
Yes.
But they finished up here with the Daleks in Manhattan, and we kind of complained about that already.
I'm past that now. Yeah.
It was just kind of irritating.
Well, no, they did part two of that.
Yeah.
This week, yeah, on Sci-Fi. I'm eagerly looking forward to the Christmas episode now.
Another one?
Yeah. Do you know what's going to happen on the Christmas episode?
Well, the last
Christmas...
Would
that be a spoiler for you?
No, don't tell me.
Don't tell you? Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you anything then. Yeah, she knows a guest star, but... Hey, that probably wouldn't... As long as you don't tell him what the guest star's part is...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't even watch the show.
As long as the guest star's not an American actor.
It's not.
Not, it's Kylie Minogue.
Wait a minute, she's done that before. She was on Neighbors or something, or EastEnders, or one of those weird overseas... I shouldn't say weird. One of those overseas non-American English-speaking soap operas.
Kylie Minogue will be on the special Christmas episode, which is like, it's like episode zero of season four, the way they do it.
Yeah, but they always do a Christmas.
Yeah. But it's always sort of the first episode of the next season, but it's never really.
No, it's
part
kind of
that
it's
season.
Kind
of it's
like
kind of
a,
on its own.
It's kind of a starter. It's like it bridges the two seasons.
Yeah.
You know, Babylon 5 used to do that. They used to have the season in-between season movie, which was basically a two-hour episode.
Well, and they did that with this last season where, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen seasons two and three of Doctor Who, but they did a Christmas episode where they didn't have Rose or Martha Jones.
No. He just picked
it was
up the
some weird chick from who knows
from a wedding.
Yeah,
and she was really mean and loud.
Yeah,
very loud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah. Interesting. There's a lot of stuff happening in the wonderful world.
Did you see the Lost? Oh, you don't care about Lost. Never mind. No. I was going to ask if you saw the Lost panel from Comic-Con.
No. I didn't manage to get to that one. I wanted to go to the Battlestar Galactica one with Katie Sackhoff since she's in the Bionic Woman.
When is Battlestar Return? In January?
Mm,
is that right?
So,
Eileen
yeah.
says yes.
And that should be the last final season. No more after that.
Good. I like this idea of them putting limits on shows so they don't stretch them out long past the point of where they're supposed to be. I mean, so a lot of shows have suffered from just having no end date.
True, like Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is an exception to that.
During the 80s, there were some pretty snorry episodes.
Right, but I don't think they should have put an end date. I don't think Doctor Who is that kind of show. I'm not saying this works for all shows, but when you have something like an Alias, that should have had an end date.
Yes.
They had a whole season there where you're just like, what? Does this have to do with
no,
anything?
No, after they figure out the whole thing. What they need at that point are spinoffs.
When they
lots and lots of spinoffs.
A show like MASH can go forever because it's meant to. It's not built on a big story arc.
Until the war ends.
But when you have... I guess Battlestar Galactica have been...
Even China Beach finally ended. Although when they brought it back into like the contemporary time period, it was really awkward feeling.
It is interesting that the Korean War lasted like, what, 14 years?
Yeah.
For MASH? But the story itself were all self-contained. So it could have been just stories from during those 3 years that they were there, 2 years that they were there. Possibly.
Maybe.
However, Battlestar Galactica, good point. The original Battlestar Galactica, I don't think had to have a story arc.
Yeah, it did.
It didn't have to have one. I mean, I don't think it would have to be the kind of show that would have to have an end. Because they're just, you know, it's their journeys. It's like an odyssey.
Uh-huh.
The current Battlestar Galactica, though, I feel like they've put so much more into the story arc that you do want to have it.
I think they
end.
Put into the immediate story arc of basically rectifying the whole human cohabitation, you know, aboard a fleet of very small ships in confined spaces and how the breakdown of order. And
yeah.
You know, although, you know, there's plenty of things most people probably wouldn't have done, like kind of do the whole kind of electoral business thing while you're being chased. I could foreseeably see everyone accepting some sort of martial law until like they were when they reached a planet, you know, the new Caprica and they landed. I could see it there now. Okay, we want the representative democracy. But when you're being, you know, you're constantly being chased and stuff, you know,
I disagree. I think you're always going to have an element that opposes what you're saying.
Well, that's true, but I think
we'll call for elections.
I think at that time you would be seen as a state of emergency if you're constantly being harassed. And
I think they did it right, which was for a while people were okay with that. But then once they got used to the state of things, they wanted a government. They said, "Look, this is the way it's going to be."
Well, no, I'm not saying there is no government, but I don't think it would have been a representational.
I don't know. No, I bought it the way they played it, which is people put up with martial law for only so long. Then they just got used to things the way they were and decided, I don't want martial law anymore. I want a representative democracy.
There's countries that have been in martial law for like 20 plus years.
Yes, and your point is?
Eventually, they, you know...
There were countries that were under monarchies for thousands of years.
That's exactly my point, so
These are not those countries.
What I'm saying. You're basically grabbing people from different parts of the colonies that not necessarily were under the same system of government.
No, they were. The colonial government covered all the colonies.
No, I know.
Did it not?
It did, but like I don't think all of them practiced the same sort of government, did they?
Yeah, they were all under the colonial government. That's my impression, was that the colonial government ruled over all the planets in one political system.
I always thought
a federal system.
Well, that's the thing. I always thought each planet had its own, like.
Yeah, you know, but it was all representative because they all sent representatives to the colonial government.
To the colonial government, but not necessarily.
That's what we're talking about, is the colonial government.
No, I know, but like for example.
So
like,
you think there were some communists and some dictatorships that sent representatives to the democratic federal colonial government?
They do it to the UN.
The UN is not a federal democratic government, a la the colonial government of Battlestar Galactica. It's a powerless P peacekeeping like club.
Powerless and peacekeeping. Those are like two words that are at odds.
Not really.
Well, heck, if you have no power, do you keep the peace?
You borrow the power from those who will let you have it. That's why they do such a poor job of peacekeeping, because they don't have their own army. If they had their own army, they could.
They could.
I'm not saying they should, by the way. I don't want to get into that argument. I'm just saying, United Nations, while they're very good at administration of peacekeeping, they can't do it all the time because they don't have an army.
No, they have to do because...
They have to borrow their armies.
No, they have to... They technically, all member states are part... they would give them on loan, but
and the United States like, always conforms.
Well, I don't know what the whole
whenever there's a need.
Well, I don't know what you, but you
as see, do all the other countries.
But you know, you borrow. I mean, you're insinuating that.
Okay, so let's just back up. The United Nations is a peacekeeping organization.
All right, okay,
is it
go take it back to the BSG thing.
Is the United Nations a peacekeeping organization?
Ostensibly,
yes.
It's there to ensure that the outbreak of war
and
does not occur again. Which
is it essentially powerless?
It's always been powerless.
Why are you arguing with me about
this? I did argue that it was powerless. But a peacekeeping organization, I said those two.
Peacekeeping organization.
I said ostensibly, it doesn't mean that it works.
Well, that's pretty much all I was saying, too. But anyway, yes, let's get back to the Battlestar Galactica.
Don't try to create a ruckus.
Why? We're doing something that's supposed to be interesting. You can't have an interesting piece
where everyone
of
agrees
without conflict.
I'll give you your conflict.
I got your conflict.
Five
right
fingers
here.
In one hand, right here.
The colonial government.
I say the
Democratic.
I would say at that time what's her name? Not Rosanna.
Rosanna Hamadana. Where did Saturday Night Live enter into this?
No, President Roslin.
Roslin. Okay.
Whatever. Like you remember everything.
I remember everything.
Yeah, you wish. Just like the money you owed me.
Don't remember that.
Exactly.
That's because I don't owe you any.
I would have kept it. Think about it. Wasn't it less than 2 years that suddenly they had that whole... What was the time period from the time they left the colonies to the time they went into New Caprica? So you're telling me that year and a half, people wouldn't have just said, all right, we're under a martial law system because we're and they were constantly harassed.
Are people who would have felt the way you're saying they would feel, but I feel there would also be a lot of people who would not. I mean, just like whenever there's any action by the United States government, there's always a group of people that opposes it.
Yeah, but
the way they showed it was like people fomenting this
I mean, I wonder what circumstances. I mean, if your survival was constantly being questioned or constantly being assaulted by an alien or a belligerent force, and the only one making sure that you're kept alive, is the military at that time, do you think you would foment?
Some people would, yes. And in fact, the fact that you're constantly being harassed makes some people follow this line of argument, which is, we have an unelected government. The military is in charge. Things aren't working. If we were to be in charge, if the people's voice was represented, things would be different, and we would be better off. And that's how it works. You said, because when things aren't going well, that's when people will listen to your argument, if you appear to be giving them a choice that would lead to something better.
It's true, but I don't think that would have happened within a year and a half. I think it would have happened when they landed on the planet.
Uh-huh.
When New Caprica. I think that would be
a no-brainer. I agree with you on that.
But I don't think it would have because at that time, I mean, constantly they were looking for new resources and they were constantly trying to evade patrols and attacks. So I think, while there might be it takes a while. I think it would even here, I mean, it took what? Until what? 2 years in the invasion of Iraq until you start a large vocal minority or a large vocal
group.
But
that's different. That's a totally different situation. The United States is not a string of impoverished spaceships with no resources. That actually pressures you to want to take action faster.
Well,
things are bad.
I think it would pressure you to side with the ones that would essentially give you, either both protection and constant supplies.
Maybe like right off the top.
But
the supplies aren't coming, and that's the thing. Is people were hungry. They were unhappy with the situation. They didn't like the way the military was running things. That's like within the first few months. You already start to hear those grumblings because there's not enough to go around. And plus, they were never saying we don't want the military to continue to lead. Their issue, as I understood it, was that we have an unelected president. Because everybody died and the Secretary of Education became president, we need to elect a new government. They weren't saying the military shouldn't continue to lead.
No,
I think that's another.
I think it would have taken longer than a year and a half. I think it would have taken until they elect. Because no.
Well, obviously it didn't.
Well, the other. Of course,
we have visual evidence. We have
it. Of course, because that's the way it was written. But I don't think that would have happened. I think there would have been an imposed. Kind of imposed martial settlement on top of everyone until they reached the planet. And then everybody said, hey, look, we found a freaking planet. We got water. We got air. Obviously, there's no other animal life forms except us.
And algae.
And trees, lots of trees.
Let's agree that you're wrong.
No, let's agree that I'm right.
Let's actually go to some postings. We didn't have that many comments at subbrilliant.com/EMW, subbrilliant.com/East Meets West. Peter in London, UK says, great idea for an episode of East Meets West with a live audience, but don't forget about us international listeners.
Oh, cool. We'll fly.
I will be going to London, but Roger won't be going with me.
Well, fine.
But I don't know. Maybe we'll do something somehow. Well, James says, how about a Skype cast? You know, where we launch Skype and do our recording and then bring callers in? Would you want to do that?
I don't know. How complicated would it be? I mean,
I think you just launch Skype and use it, don't you?
Yeah, we'd have
and
to go to a separate.
It record it?
Well, Skype? No, we would need a separate machine. Oh, no, just to get their calls?
Yeah. Doesn't Skype do a recording of the Skype casts for you?
Yeah, but typically the way I've experienced it is you use a separate machine and then use the output from that.
I think you can do it the other way too, though. We'll have to see. But then you wouldn't have to come over. You could just Skype in yourself.
It's true. And then where would you be for dinner?
I know. We wouldn't have an excuse to go out to dinner then. Craig wrote in and said, you talked about maybe doing a live show somewhere and needing a neutral location. I suggest St. Louis. It's Tom's old stomping grounds, and it's in the middle of the country. And then somebody else said,
in the middle of the country?
Somebody else said, how about Texas as a neutral location? I think this is just where all these people are.
What about Des Moines?
How about an LA show?
La La Land.
Although SoCal Jess says, is it a hell when hell freezes over in LA point of view with you two? No, I don't have anything against LA. My wife's born there. I love LA. They just don't live there.
Well, it depends. Do you mean LA or LA County? I mean, are you talking
I guess, you know, we're talking about Los Angeles area.
I mean Santa there's Monica, like, you know, Burbank or, you know, all the other towns. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. When all the cities grew into each other and it became one large, you know, group of people.
Well, maybe we should. Maybe we should do an L.A. We could pull off L.A.
Down in Hollywood where we take our photos in front of.
Let's go to Hollywood and Vine and just sit up a card table on the sidewalk.
Come on, listen to our podcast, and then we'll probably get arrested for loitering.
Ben suggests Sweden as a neutral location.
What about Switzerland?
Yeah. Did you mean Switzerland, Ben? Maybe he was trying to make a joke.
I mean, Sweden is neutral, but I think Switzerland would be much more interesting. Then again, maybe not. Maybe why don't we just go to, like, Monaco or something?
Jeremy also suggested St. Louis as the location for EMWCon. because St. Louis is the gateway to the West.
Uh-huh.
We just have to get Roger to go to St. Louis.
What about Hawaii? Then we could be in the middle between the, you know, the Far East and the Far West.
Ben H. says, hi, guys. Enjoy the podcast. Like listening to people who speak my language. You speak English, too. Good. I live in a smaller town, and kids through high school have always and still take the school bus. By the way, I started listening as a result of Roger's plug on DLTV.
Plug, plug, plug.
Plug, plug. And then Ben says, I'm disappointed that Roger didn't say anything about Patrick.
Well, that podcast happened before his announcement, so unless time was reversed, it would have not happened.
Why? What announcement?
Oh, Patrick's leaving East Meets West. He's leaving DLTV.
What?
Actually, he left. Oh, nice.
Django's even shocked.
You do that Jon Stewart Daily Show thing so well.
What? Yes, the podcast, the East Meets West podcast 78, was recorded before Patrick left. So,
no announcement could be made until he made it.
There you go. All right. That was it for the comments. There's just a lot of people suggesting places for us to have EMW Con.
You know, I honestly like the idea of a convention. I mean, like,
uh-huh.
There's PAX for Penny Arcade guys.
Uh-huh.
Even that little guy that used to host Call for Help has his.
You're talking about Perillo?
Whatever.
That little guy? Well, he does call himself a gnome, so I guess that's fair.
So?
But there's gnome decks, right?
Yeah. And then doesn't Leo have one?
Does Leo have a... He has the cruise.
Yeah, isn't that kind of...
Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the geek cruise.
Like, you know, if you want to geek out and still move without physically moving.
The best way to geek out.
Because, you know, there's nothing like seeing the Baltic states.
So what are you suggesting for EMWCon? Mm. Would it have to be in San Francisco, do you think?
I don't know. Don't you think it would capture... We could do it
Oakland.
All right, Oakland. We'll give really, really a verbose direction so people won't get lost.
There's nothing wrong with Oakland.
Woohoo! And well, you know, we'll rent out Chuck E. Cheese. No, actually, I hate Chuck E. Cheese.
Dave and Buster's. The adults Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Actually, don't know if there are any around here.
What else could we do?
So we could go somewhere. We could do it somewhere else.
True.
Or we could just be lazy and have it here in the Bay Area.
Chicago.
I like Chicago. Chicago's in the center of the United States.
And your wife seems partial to it.
Yeah, Eileen likes Chicago.
There's deep dish pizza, and if you don't like it, I'm sure you could find a New York-style pie somewhere.
I have a feeling that if we want to do it sooner rather than later, we'd end up doing it in the Bay Area.
True.
But if we wanted to plan it out like a year, then we could probably get it.
But the thing is, then we would have to have commitments on the number of people that attended.
Exactly, because if I was thinking about that already, because if we have a place, then we have to have a place big enough, but not too big.
True.
For everybody to come. Huh. Yeah. It gets complicated when you actually start to really think about it.
I mean, you know, it could be at a burnt out husk of a, you know, mall or
maybe
something.
Maybe we should start with a meetup and see like what three or four people actually show up.
Three or four.
And then figure if we have a con, we can multiply that by 10.
40 people? It's not a convention. Isn't it more of just an informal gathering?
Well, that's probably how Comic-Con started, right?
Yeah, but that had like at least...
Way back in the day?
400 plus.
All right.
700 people.
We'd have to have all of our listeners come to hit that number.
And then we need an exhibitor's table. Like exhibitor dealers.
Oh yeah. Group. Well, that's how you pay for
and
it.
And then you need panelists that weren't either you or me.
Yes, we could probably pull that off. We know enough people.
And then
but what would it be about? Us?
what is
our panels are like, what do you think of Roger?
Hey, why couldn't it just
Hey, wow. That's what Django thinks of you.
Oh geez, thanks. Oh, now she's whimpering.
Uh-huh.
But No.
You misunderstood.
What if we it could cover, you know what? It could be a potpourri of speaking topics.
Yeah.
Like
it could
what
just
we do
be, let people talk about whatever they
have,
want.
We have political
Science fiction, computers,
you know, computers, bus systems.
Urban
growth,
sociology,
issues. Yeah,
aesthetics, you know. Rhetoric.
Yeah, why not? It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
It'd be, you know what? You know, everyone just who wants to attend and they could choose a topic they want to talk about.
All right.
And then it would be literally like, you know, where instead of meeting of like ideas, you meet with just like minds and then eventually all the
And
ideas.
All disagree.
Yeah.
The way we do every week.
Why not?
All right. I think we got something there.
It'd be the largest disagreement to happen since 1841.
Disagreement con.
Disicon?
ArgueCon.
ArgueCon, I like that. ArgueCon, 2008.
I'll definitely invite Molly Wood.
Ooh.
That's all we do. It's basically the same shtick on Buzz Out Loud.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that you took the shtick somewhere else?
No.
Are you trying
I'm
to
just saying I'm naturally argumentative?
Have you been seeing someone?
Have you been arguing with someone else? All right, that about wraps it up for us this time. If you'd like to make comments, please do so. Subbrilliant.com/EMW is the blog where you can post your comments.
Yes, and please watch this week's DLTV. Please.